Chapter 1. Why coordinating your Social Security and Roth IRA conversion strategies is critically important. In the late 1960s, Stanford University conducted a series of studies on the value of delayed gratification. Researchers offered children a choice. They could have one marshmallow immediately, or if they waited 15 minutes, they could have two marshmallows. Most of the children couldn't wait, and they immediately ate their one marshmallow. Some, however, waited the 15 minutes and got two marshmallows. They tracked those kids for 40 years and found that the children who were able to delay gratification had dramatically better outcomes in many areas of their later lives. So, are you a one or two marshmallow person? Are you willing to consider making financial decisions that might make the short term seem a little less favorable, but the long-term outlook for your retirement a lot brighter? For example, how would you react if I asked you to consider not applying for your Social Security benefits as soon as you are permitted? What if I suggested that you purposely spend part of your savings to pay income taxes years before the IRS would require you to? What if I added a bit more incentive and told you that these strategies have become even more powerful since the passage in 2017 of the major tax overhaul known as the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act? Discussing retirement and estate planning strategies with clients is a very significant part of my job, and I do believe it has to be a conversation. I can't simply issue directives. For instance, years ago, during one of these conversations, I recommended that my client hold off applying for Social Security until he was 70, and that he take advantage of the years that he wasn't collecting benefits to execute and pay income tax on a series of Roth IRA conversions. He was a retired engineer who thought he knew as much about financial strategies as he did about engineering. It isn't a totally rare occurrence, but I have license to poke fun at engineers because my wife is a software engineer. He insisted that it wasn't the right strategy for him. He felt that he and his wife should both start taking Social Security at 62, and that they should completely avoid the additional income tax they'd owe if they executed Roth IRA conversions. He also told me that his biggest concern was that he and/or his wife would outlive their money. With his biggest concern identified, I knew that if I could present compelling evidence that supported my point of view, using reasonable assumptions, he would at least consider an alternative plan. I have worked with countless relatively stubborn but quantitatively gifted clients. With this group, I have an ace up my sleeve. Most of them, especially the very bright ones, are data-driven. That means if you show them the math, the spreadsheets behind the math, the assumptions used on the spreadsheets, and why I am recommending what I am recommending, their objections, at least for most of them, grudgingly diminish or even disappear. Much to his surprise, I was able to prove to him that even though my recommendations seemed counterintuitive, acting on them would allow both he and his wife to significantly reduce the chances of outliving their money, and would even increase the amount of money that they could safely spend. Each time I see him, he tells me how glad he and his wife are that I took the time to run the numbers and show him why his previous strategy was wrong. For them, it made a huge difference. And since they aren't big spenders themselves, taking my advice will ultimately make an enormous difference for their children and grandchildren. We have run the numbers for thousands of clients who are considering Roth IRA conversions and comparing their Social Security options. And while we use multiple software programs to run the calculations, the real skill that our CPA number crunchers bring to the table is deciding which numbers to include in our calculations. Roth IRA conversions and Social Security analysis account for only part of our calculations. We regularly factor in other variables as well, such as safe spending rates of return, gifting programs, mortgage repayment, and pension distributions. Including a comprehensive analysis of those factors, however, is outside the scope of this book. Our highly qualified CPAs also crunch the numbers for our articles, many of which are published in prestigious peer-reviewed journals, as well as our books. For a free copy of our Roth IRA conversion book, The Roth Revolution, go to www.paytaxeslater.com/books. For our video and audio version of this book, as well as other financial resources, go to www.paytaxeslater.com/the214K mistake. So let's look at the numbers for this client. We ran the numbers using three different scenarios based on the couple having $1.1 million in investments and spending $75,000 per year. The results are shown in Figure 2, which appears on page 5 of the print copy. The assumptions used for Figure 2 can be found on page 98. I never recommend that clients spend less money immediately after retirement to produce a larger income at age 70, so the spending assumptions are constant throughout their lifetimes. The solid line shows the outcome they would have experienced if they'd acted on their original plan to take Social Security at age 62. In the early years of their retirement, they'd have had a little more money because of the Social Security income. Just as many young adults don't think much about their retirement, many retirees in their 60s don't project where their finances will be in their 80s or 90s. So take another look at the solid line. What are the consequences when they're age 80 because they decided to take Social Security early and not make any Roth IRA conversions? Inflation has caused their expenses to go up, but their wealth hasn't grown over the past decade, and now it's even starting to go in the other direction. If they live long enough, they'll see a significant portion of their nest egg vanish. They will have to reduce expenses or face the possibility that they'll run out of money completely before they die. Their worst fear. Fortunately, my client was a data-driven, two-marshmallow guy. He dug into the spreadsheets we used to make our calculations. I think he was secretly hoping we had made a major error so he could prove us wrong. But he realized our calculations and advice were sound. Once persuaded, they took my advice regarding Social Security, and they took advantage of a strategy that is no longer available called apply and suspend. And even though it was painful, they ate into their savings and paid income tax so that they could make a series of Roth IRA conversions. But look at what happens when they turn 70. The outcome is represented by the dashed line. Those Social Security checks finally start to come in, and they're a lot bigger than they would have been if he'd taken them early. I'll show you exactly how much bigger in Chapter 2. Those big checks allow them to rebuild their savings quickly, and by the time they're about 80, they're in a position similar to what they would have been if they had taken their Social Security early. The difference, though, is that they can look forward to their remaining years with confidence. They will never run out of money and will likely leave a significant estate behind for their children. That financial security gives them peace of mind through their retirement years. They also know that, given our assumptions, they could have as much as $2,013,881 to pass on to their children after they die, compared to being broke if they had followed through with their original plan. Unfortunately, new Social Security claimants will never be able to take advantage of that precise scenario because of a change in the rules. Not having the option to apply and suspend does have an impact on the overall outcome, and the result that new claimants might realize is depicted by the dotted line. Even though the dotted line represents the same Roth IRA conversion strategy and uses the best Social Security strategies currently available, the change in the rules is costly. If we compare the two projections, using the new rules means that a new claimant using an optimized strategy will have $251,511 less by the time they turn age 80 than if they had been able to use apply and suspend. That is why I wrote a book and did a lot of Social Security workshops and radio shows in 2015. I wanted clients, readers, and listeners to take advantage of the apply and suspend rules while they still had the chance. Fortunately, the word got through to most of our clients and countless readers and listeners. Unfortunately, too many people, especially people with more modest portfolios, never got the news. Either they didn't know about us or the other experts advocating the same thing, or they didn't listen. Social Security benefits aren't getting more generous. In fact, they're going the other way. The government has already eliminated several methods, they called them loopholes, that you used to be able to use to get higher benefits. The apply and suspend strategy was one of these. I continue to refer to it in this book because many readers applied before the deadline under the old rules, and I don't want them to believe that their status has changed. But even though the Social Security rules are not quite as favorable now as when my client in the example applied, you can clearly see that the decisions you make about your retirement can make the difference between living a comfortable lifestyle and running out of money. One of the arguments I occasionally hear is, gee, Jim, if I hold off until I am 70, I won't be able to live comfortably until then because I won't have enough money from my portfolio to support my lifestyle between ages 62 and 70. My response, though usually not well received, is that if you are 62 and you don't have enough savings or IRAs to live comfortably without having to rely on your Social Security for income, I would suggest that you don't have enough money to retire unless you are willing to live extremely frugally. Perhaps continuing to work for a few more years would be more prudent. I have had those conversations. Luckily, it is far more typical for me to prove to my clients that they can spend even more than they currently spend using our recommendations. But what if you do have savings and/or an IRA but don't want to withdraw principal during your early years of retirement? Before we run the numbers, it is common for clients to feel uncomfortable with the idea of spending down their portfolio when they could just as easily take their Social Security early. They don't like delaying their Social Security and being forced to spend down their savings to maintain their regular spending patterns. That is precisely when having compelling proof from running the numbers is so critical. They see it is better to hold off taking their Social Security and continue to spend at their normal rate. This can be true even if you have no savings or after-tax dollars, and you must take taxable distributions from your IRA to make up for the fact that you are delaying your Social Security. So take another look at Figure 2. You can see that, given certain reasonable assumptions which are listed on page 98 in this book, taking advantage of optimal strategies for Social Security and executing a series of Roth IRA conversions can make the difference between running out of money and having more than $1.5 million when you die, more than $2 million if you were able to use the old apply-and-suspend rules. And if you optimize your own situation by making good decisions, you can give your family financial security. Remember, each of the three scenarios reflects the same amount of money in investments, earning the same rate of return with the same annual spending. The only differences in our scenario are due to two factors: which Social Security strategy they chose to use, and whether they completed a series of Roth IRA conversions. Of course, like snowflakes, no two couples are the same. I go back to my earlier comment about having a conversation, not issuing directives. When we run the numbers, the client is in the room and is part of the process. We don't ask clients to blindly trust us. Each situation must be evaluated according to its own facts and circumstances. But the basic facts are undisputed. Getting your Social Security strategy right and optimizing Roth IRA conversions can make an enormous difference to your and your family's financial future. Why trust our analysis? You can rely on our analysis. We do extensive calculations before we offer advice, and our Social Security calculations have withstood the scrutiny of a panel of experts at one of the nation's most prestigious peer-reviewed magazines, Trusts and Estates. Our Roth IRA conversion analysis has withstood the close inspection of a panel of CPA tax experts and has been published in the Tax Journal of the American Institute of CPAs, the Tax Advisor. Furthermore, I've interviewed some of the nation's top Social Security experts on my radio show, The Lang Money Hour. My guests on the show have included Jane Bryant Quinn, who writes financial columns for Newsweek, Bloomberg, and AARP; Jonathan Clements, formerly the top personal finance writer for The Wall Street Journal for 18 years; Elaine Floyd, who is a nationally recognized Social Security and Roth IRA expert; and Mary Beth Franklin, who teaches courses on Social Security to financial professionals. One of my most thought-provoking guests was Larry Kotlikoff, who is the author of the number one best-selling book on Social Security, Get What's Yours. He believes that delaying your application for Social Security benefits to receive a higher guaranteed income for the rest of your and your spouse's life does not necessarily mean that you need to live frugally during your early retirement years, and I'll show you why I agree with him in Chapter 2. Our basic advice is consistent with what all of these Social Security experts have said on our radio show. Plan for the long term by implementing smart retirement strategies, which usually involves at least one member of the couple delaying their application for Social Security. The change in legislation that is explained thoroughly in this mini-book has made things much trickier for individuals who are trying to plan their retirement. Elaine Floyd said this about the current legislation, quote, "Each couple's situation is different with regard to how the legislation will affect them. They need to come and see us so we can give them personalized guidance," end quote. The snowflake analogy holds true. In my own practice, I've found that there is no one-size-fits-all answer to the question about how to maximize Social Security benefits and Roth IRA conversions for a married couple. You must do the math and sometimes consider factors that are difficult to quantify before arriving at the best answer. That said, this mini-book offers a lot of guidance. You will see that combining the best possible Social Security options you have available and using the optimal Roth IRA conversion strategies can be a game-changer for you and your family. To listen to past guest speakers from the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, go to www.paytaxeslater.com/radio-show/guests. From there, you can hear from Jane Bryant Quinn, Jonathan Clements, and other leading IRA, retirement planning, and financial experts. I am currently writing a book on how to respond to the 2017 tax reform, which will dive deeper into Roth IRA conversions. For information regarding getting a free copy of that book or any of my books, please go to www.paytaxeslater.com/books. Whose analysis shouldn't you trust? There are some sources that you should almost never trust when it comes to getting information about Social Security. This includes your non-expert friends and your local Social Security office. I lead many workshops on retirement planning, and I can't tell you how many participants have come up and told me that they went to their local Social Security office and received and followed advice that is completely opposite to what I offer in my workshop. Even worse, they realize that following the advice they got from the Social Security office has cost them over $100,000. Now, of course, there are some knowledgeable people working for the Social Security offices, but they aren't sophisticated wealth advisors who can evaluate all aspects of your financial situation before they give you advice. Another questionable source of information is a financial professional who can't prove his advice is right. Statements such as, "the government is going to screw you, so take the money now," is not sufficient proof to reduce one of your important safety nets. That said, it is critical to know that even if you have failed to make the best decisions in the past, it doesn't necessarily mean you can't make a course correction now. Let's dig in.